Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Comic Book Club! And now, here are your hosts, Pete LePage and Justin Tyler! And me! I don't know, I didn't want to step on your guys' big moment.
Thank you for giving us our due time on stage.
No problem. How are you guys doing?
Great, feeling great. Big weekend, had to watch TV the whole time.
You watched TV all weekend long?
Pretty much.
I did.
First nice weekend in months.
You mean nice on Netflix, because it was a great show called Daredevil.
Yeah, there was.
It was like really sunny inside our laptops.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm just saying, outside, it was warm for the first time, but you spent it inside?
I don't know. I painted over my windows once I saw the Netflix series.
Wanted to be like Daredevil and not see.
Right, exactly. Yeah,
that's cool. You wanted the whole experience.
I go deep on my characters.
Yeah, that's actually, this is a legit piece of news that dropped earlier today. People were super upset that there wasn't any way of watching Daredevil for the visually impaired. And they just added a narration track to it.
Oh, that's cool.
Which is super cool. They responded to people. They're like, yeah, you're absolutely right. We're going to do that. We're going to add that. And then they're doing it to a bunch of other shows as well. But they started with Daredevil.
Huh.
Cool.
Are you going to watch it again with the visual narration track?
Yeah, I am. Definitely.
Cool. We should probably mention at this point, what we're recording right now is the visual narration track to Daredevil.
Right, exactly. And obviously the live audience is here to see the scene.
Start this podcast if you're already listening. Go back, start to the beginning, press play, watch the scene of him in the confession booth.
Yeah. On the third lion roar, press play on our podcast, and it syncs up perfectly with the first episode of Daredevil.
Yeah, so. These are actually all the first lines from Daredevil. Yeah. It's way confusing. Yeah,
well, watch out, D.D. Because he just says so much.
Hey, Double D, how you doing?
I don't remember that from the show at all.
Someone just threw a punch at him.
Yeah. Well, listen, I'm sure we're going to talk about it a bunch, but only watched the first episode and a half, so just make sure not to spoil it.
Oh, I'm spoiling everything.
You're an insane idiot.
I'll tell you what. I was pretty busy this weekend going outside and being a human being.
Why would you do that?
Here's
you
all I'm
know
saying.
We have the show.
I'll tell you what. If you spoil Daredevil, I might have to do something as vengeance, so we'll just see what happens.
Okay, we'll see what happens.
We're going to see what happens when we bring our guest up on stage.
Yeah,
he's an awesome dude, we haven't seen him in months because he left New York for a while, but we're very excited to have him back.
He is the
host of the Jeff Rubin Show. Jeff Rubin!
Yeah. Jeff Rubin!
Welcome, sir.
A name so nice, you say it three times when you introduce him.
All right, so, Jeff, actually, it occurs to me, you're kind of like Beetlejuice. We said your name three times and you came on stage.
That's how it works.
Or the Candyman.
Candyman, you got to look in a mirror, right?
What's that?
Candyman, you got to look in a mirror for Candyman.
Yeah. Oh, if you just say his name into like a spoon, it's fine. He's fine. He's not going to
bother
you. It needs to be like a mirror shot where you can like move the camera and someone's suddenly behind you. So if you can make that work with a spoon, I think it's okay.
You can make anything work with a spoon.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Oh, that's great. It's your eating philosophy.
Yep.
Great.
Cool. Jeff, welcome back to the show. Very excited
so
to
excited
have
to be
you here.
Here.
So let's talk. What's going on with the Jeff Rubin show? You were teasing a big Muppets episode.
I posted it today. I talked to the two guys who run toughpigs.com, which is a Muppet fan site that has existed since, get ready for this, 2001.
Wow.
I know. Isn't that crazy?
Like really crazy. So, I mean, we're all 14, so we weren't even born then.
Yeah, that was.
So these guys are just like insane Muppet. These are just like the most hardcore Muppet fans. They like update this Muppet site every day. And it was cool because everyone loves the Muppets, but it was cool talking to these guys who are like just so deep into it and being like, all right, let's pretend we meet someone who's never seen the Muppets, doesn't know anything about Jim Henson. What would you show them to like convince them of the magic of the Muppets? And it was really interesting hearing their answers.
Are they always scraping for Muppet News?
That's what I said too, but I said digging for news. Like, I was a little less polite about it. I was like, so what do you do?
What's wrong with you?
The Muppets have been around like ever since Disney bought them. Like they're doing something every day, you know?
Well, they put up a bunch of stuff on YouTube. There's the announcement that they're developing a pilot for the show. You should have them on the podcast talking about Muppets.
He pointed out, I mean, you would love these guys. They're great. And they... They point out there's 60 years of Muppet history to draw from, so they post reviews, and I was like, what are the reviews like? Don't you like, I mean, you probably like it, right? It seems like you guys like the Muppets.
They do a Muppet fan takedown.
But it's just like a lot of analysis and history, and they interview the puppeteers, which is like a really interesting subculture, and they talk a little bit about like the way the puppeteers work and like visiting the sets. So they make it work. They make it work.
That's really interesting. I know I talk about my child or my children a little
children.
Too much.
You should say children.
You two have two. One of them is a little small and doesn't do much. But cool. The taller one.
Also know their names.
I'm going to find it out later.
Because the little one might grow, and then you're going to be shit out of luck come Christmas.
I don't know. We keep snipping his hands and toes, so I think that's going
to
work.
To the taller one, love Santa.
Penny, my daughter, we've been showing her old episodes of The Muppet Show. She's been watching through. I think she's watched the first three seasons now and gone back, watched through them all a bunch of times. Loves the show. The most hilarious thing to me, because all of the guests on The Muppet Show are extremely old slash dead now.
Especially in that first season, they're like really obscure. Like eventually they started getting big names in that first season.
She somehow decided that, sorry, this is not going to be as funny to anybody else. She decided she's going to marry George Burns.
Oh no.
Which I'm like, I don't know how to break it to you.
Well, you don't have to worry about her chasing the bad boy when she's in high school then, I guess.
Nope.
She's going to be just the cigar
smoking. No, but we watched Oh God, You Devil. So she's good.
Oh, so you're getting her into George Burns now.
Yeah, she's crazy George Burns.
Supporting that little romance.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, we should actually take a step back. The idea of the podcast is you delve into really specific aspects of culture or just whatever's interesting to you.
Yeah, that is the only idea is that I just do whatever I want. But usually what that is I get pretty deep into specific. I love people that like have taken an obsession with something to an unreasonable degree and gone.
We don't know what that's like. We're unaware.
But then go so far, and you guys follow this. Go so far with it that they actually like make something new and have like done something creative with it. So I talked to before the Muppet episode. The one before that was this paper airplane champion, and and same with the Muppets. It's like everyone loves the Muppets. Everyone's folded a paper airplane, but this guy was like, "I'm gonna be the best paper airplane guy." And these Muppet fans. They're probably, like, at the high end of Muppet fans, I think we can say. So I love people that, like, take their obsessions to, like, an insane degree. Because it's always interesting to get into the nuts and bolts of that. But also it's just funny. And, like, people can, like, laugh at themselves. And, like, they know what it's about. I'm trying to think. I got a palindromist coming up. Is that a word? Cool. Palindromist?
Sure.
Yeah, that's a cool name.
I'm trying to think who else. I don't like to hype the old, the upcoming
what about,
ones too much.
You've had a couple of guests from the comic book world. And
sure. Who, though? I'm trying to think. There must have been some comic book one.
I was on your show.
We talked Avengers.
We talked Avengers. Or was it Batman?
No, I think it was Avengers.
Was it Avengers? I loved this is not comic book related, but the Shovel Knight episode.
Oh, I was such love a Shovel good Knight. Episode. Did you play that game?
I haven't played it.
You gotta play Shovel Knight. It's so good. It's his game. And it looks like an 8-bit Nintendo game. And that's kind of a thing a lot of video games do is now is like have a retro look. And they always say it looks like a Nintendo game. But this really looks like a Nintendo game.
It was right out of Mega Man style.
Yeah, like they use the NES color palette. And like it's not just pixel art. It's very specifically NES. And it's like the best NES game that was ever made.
Yeah.
And I met the designers were at IndieCade, which is kind of like Sundance for indie video games, and it's also the best. It was like the best day of my life. Just walk around playing interesting video games. They were there with that game, and I was like, "Did you make this?" And he was like, "Yeah." I was like, "I just spent last weekend beating it was the biggest celebrity I'd ever seen in my life. I got a selfie with him. Like, I was beyond words to meet the man who had designed this incredible game. And then I walked away, and one of my friends was like, "You should have him on the podcast." I was like, "Right, I have a podcast for these things." And that really is the point of it, you know, to like, when I meet someone like that, it was like, nice, he was very friendly, and I was like, oh, I can harass this man into talking to me for an additional hour.
Yeah.
and just ask him whatever I want, which is always fun to do.
Cool. All right.
Very cool.
Great. What are your guys' obsessions?
Well,
there's
comic books. I mean, I feel like television has become an obsession. I feel like I should watch everything.
Mm-hmm.
And so I've been watching too much bad television.
There's too much TV on.
It's too much, yeah. And like, I feel obligated to watch all of it.
I watched Mad Men last night, and it felt like I was doing homework so I could watch Daredevil. You know? Like, I was like,
I felt exactly the same way, because I was like, I want to watch Mad Men so that I can watch Forbes as a Daredevil in a row. And then I ended up watching Nashville. Which is, that's how deep, how far I've fallen.
Wow.
That I am
with the amount of nerd TV that's on nowadays, I really do. It feels like homework. It feels like I got to get home. I make dinner. I have enough time to watch like two to three hours of television. Yeah. Got to get through that. Otherwise, I'm behind.
Yeah.
And then I have to spend all weekend watching television.
Yeah, and you can't be behind.
Yeah. I know Alex keeps up with all the shows because I follow Alex on Twitter. And like, I know Alex is on that Arrow beat and, you know, your Flash beat. Do you guys keep up with I'm really into Daredevil. I've tried S.H.I.E.L.D. It didn't really go
through. I pick and choose a little bit.
Episode of S.H.I.E.L.D.,
I'm off S.H.I.E.L.D.
Oh, you're off at the wrong time. It's actually good now.
That's what I've heard. Now I feel like I got to get back on.
I've tried watching S.H.I.E.L.D. twice, though. That is very difficult for a show to get a second chance with me. You know, like, once you're out, you are out. But I went back, and I tried S.H.I.E.L.D. twice. And it's still, like, I watched like three or four last year. I watched the season premiere this year, and like, God, I just like don't really.
I will tell you, it feels ridiculous because I feel like people have said this a million times. Like, it's finally good.
I know.
But quite seriously, as somebody who has secretly and not so secretly hated on the show for a while, at season and a half in, when they came back for the break, it finally figured out what it was.
Yeah, believe me, I want to like S.H.I.E.L.D. I want to like.
You don't.
I don't
think anybody needs to watch a season and a half of television to be like, all right, I got to get past this really bad season and a half to get into the good part. So you absolutely don't have to watch it, but it is actually good now. The one that's fallen off my radar that's really frustrating to me is iZombie.
Oh,
I want to watch iZombie. I love Rob Thomas. Super excited about it. Yeah. And I don't have the time.
Yeah, that seems great. That isn't what I was thinking about when I thought about shows I was missing. I'm like, I'm not watching Flash. I'm not watching Arrow.
You don't need to watch Gotham.
Are you guys all watching all those shows?
Yes. I'm watching Gotham. I haven't started iZombie yet, but
I guess we could have talked about this later. We could geek, but whatever. We're talking about it now. Did you guys watch Gotham last night?
I haven't watched last night.
50 Shades of Gotham.
Oh, fuck.
Oh, it's ridiculous. They did a straight up like, it's Christian Grey, but what if he murdered people? I don't know. And he's called the Ogre for no reason. Has nothing to do with Shrek. Who cares?
Here's where I'm at with these TV shows. I'm going to watch Daredevil. I'm going to be done with that within the week, for sure. That's amazing. I'm sure we'll talk about it. But if I wanted to watch another superhero show, I'd probably watch The Flash. And if I wanted to watch another one, I'd probably watch The Shield. I'd probably watch S.H.I.E.L.D., not The Shield, though The Shield does rule.
Yeah,
I would say Arrow before S.H.I.E.L.D.
But anyway, like that. Think about how far down the list Gotham is. I got to get to like four comic book shows before I get to Gotham.
That's
the beautiful world we live in.
It is. I was texting my friend over the weekend, and he was like, "I'm watching Daredevil, and it's amazing." And I was like, "I can't like." What a time to be alive.
There's too many superhero shows.
It's true. We'd kind of gotten used to the movie thing, but I think Daredevil really cracks it open for TV in a way.
Honestly, we could maybe talk about this later too, but I feel like what if it's too much? What if it's too much?
Shut the fuck up.
This summer when we're in prime movie time and TV shows are still going, what are we going to do?
I saw that Ant-Man trailer and I was like, I can't think about Ant-Man. I still haven't seen Avengers 2.
Yeah.
I saw the trailer for Avengers Age of Ultron. I was like, holy shit, it's like 2 weeks away.
Yeah.
What do we do?
It's totally crazy that, I mean, and we're not even talking about this, but it was like, I knew the Ant-Man trailer was coming and then the new Terminator trailer dropped that morning. I was like, oh, this is stupid, but then the Ant-Man trailer dropped while I was watching the Terminator trailer, while I was thinking about Age of Ultron, while I was regretting not watching all of Daredevil.
Yeah, I was watching Daredevil. I was like, fuck, Ant-Man trailer. I better watch this. I paused Daredevil and watched Ant-Man trailer. I was like, oh, all right. And I pressed play on Daredevil.
I legitimately think I need one of those Minority Report setups. Like, I need to sit in a chair all day and just be swiping at screens.
We got a Red Ball trailer dropped. I've got to watch it now,
too. On the TV front, Supergirl is going to be a show.
Yes.
Yeah. What else? There's got to be others, right?
There's Supergirl. There's the Arrow Flash spinoff, which is now like, that's 3 hours of my week.
That's insane.
God.
And do they know the subject of that spinoff, or is it sort of Justice Society-ish?
No.
Maybe?
Well, it sounds, with barely any details, totally awesome, because they have like, they have Brandon Routh as the Atom.
Brandon Routh. Can I put out there? I think he gets an unfair rap because Superman movie wasn't very good, but that's not his fault.
Now that he's the Atom on Flash, Flash and Arrow, I guess, he's great.
He's great on another comic book E show, though it's not a comic book. Chuck? You guys ever watch Chuck? No, you don't like Chuck?
How deep are we diving? We're lost. We can't even see the surface anymore.
Yeah. That's so true when you get to Chuck. Chuck's pretty
and
good.
You said Chuck like it was a foreign language.
I said Chuck like Chuck? Well, it's a terrible name for a show. But it is a pretty good show. I do like Chuck. And Brandon Routh is good on it.
Yeah.
All right. He's good on Flash and Arrow, too. So it's him as the Atom.
Mm-hmm.
You got Wentworth Miller as Captain Cold is going to be on it. You have everybody, all the kids' favorite, Victor Garber. Is going to be on it as half of Firestorm. Katie Lotz is on it as something.
But what are those? Like, what is that a team?
Well, okay. Also you got Arthur Darvill is Rip Hunter on it, which I think is.
I don't know either of those names.
All right. Arthur Darvill was a companion on Doctor Who. This guy,
I know he is.
And Rip Hunter is their time traveler.
Gotcha.
Ironically,
I
because he was on Doctor Who. I'm just saying.
Yeah, super ironic. Jeez, yeah, the super irony ironic. Is so deep.
Here's Oscar what I think. Wilde we talked about this a little more, but I think so. What everybody's been wondering about, Katie Lotz, spoiler: she played Black Canary. She died on Arrow earlier in the season.
Yep.
So everybody's like, "How does she come back?" I don't understand. Oh, is this Pete's hour recorder?
Yeah,
right
you
now?
Just wasted it.
Yeah, sorry about that, Pete. I think it's time travel, right? Like, there's going to be different team-ups. You're going to have Rip Hunter traveling through time, teaming up with these heroes at different points to create some connective fiber. There's going to be an overarching story, and eventually they all come together to fight something.
While I was moving, I watched on Netflix. I just, like, had it on and got through the packing and unpacking of my stuff, two full seasons of the Bruce Timm Justice League cartoon.
Oh, yes.
So good.
So good.
It's so good.
Yeah.
That's the thing that's crazy about it. There's so much new stuff coming out that you don't even have time for. There's all this old stuff, too.
Yeah, I had seen that before. I'm pretty familiar with the Bruce Timm-iverse / Paul Dini-iverse. It's got two verses. And always loved it, but I haven't seen that Justice League show in a while. It's great.
Very good.
Yeah. I love the way they have, like, there's an episode about the Question. Like, the tertiary characters that they spotlight are really great.
Yeah. How are you guys' interpersonal relationships going?
Real bad.
Troubled. Literally troubled.
Yeah. Yeah. I noticed that of the things that you're super into and obsessed with right now, nowhere on that list was your wife.
Yeah. And I'll tell you what, that's a fucking problem. Yeah. That's a spoiler in the truest sense.
All right.
I do know her name, and you don't know your children's name.
So, what's her name?
The short one.
All right. Where can people check out Jeff Rubin's show?
Thank you. Yeah, do that. Oh, where? I thought you said people should check it out. Jeff Rubin, jeffrubinshow.com.
All right, there we go. Okay. All right, guys, we're going to move on to our next section, which we like to call the stack.
Yeah!
End of the stack. We're going to go some bat for some comic books that we really liked this week.
Really liked.
That's what we do, right? We talk about books that we liked.
Yeah.
That's what you try to enforce on us.
You don't go to bat for something you don't like.
Yeah, you wouldn't go to bat for a comic book you didn't like, and I know this is one of your favorite characters, so Deadpool, number 250.
Yeah. Deadpool.
Pete, what did you like about this book?
Cool. Well, I'll tell you what. I didn't like the fact that it was $10. I had to pay $10 to watch my favorite character die, or one of my favorite characters. So that was something I really liked.
Wait, can I ask you a quick question?
Sure.
Okay, so Deadpool, spoiler, can I say how he dies?
Sure.
He dies because of Secret Wars. Like, they have this whole thing where he gets through. He's like, well, Deadpool is dead. I'm giving up being Deadpool.
The identity.
And then the entire planet dies, and there's the heat death of the universe and whatever.
Right.
So that's how he dies. We're friendly with Jordan D. White, the editor of the book. He usually is here in the audience at some points. Did you like the fact that he was making fun of you, Pete, in the back of the book?
Personally.
Pretty much personally.
Like targeting him.
You're talking about that last panel with Agent Coulson where Coulson gets the yellow?
No, I'm talking about where Jordan's like, yeah, he's totally dead. Absolutely dead, Pete. There may not have been a Pete there, but it felt like
there wasn't a Pete there. But, yeah, I didn't appreciate any of it, to tell you the truth.
You didn't like this at all?
I thought it was really well written right up until the part where he died. I thought it was great. I loved how he... What I really love about Deadpool is people underestimate him all the time, and he constantly proves people wrong, and he's very creative and hilarious, and it just sucks that we don't get Deadpool again until they relaunch the Secret Wars, and we have to
he'll be in
go through all that bullshit, and then we'll finally get it.
Sorry, so we don't get any Deadpool for a month or two.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's
I gotta wait
that's
a whole month.
That's a living nightmare.
That's
yeah.
What did you think about this, Justin?
I was very surprised by the ending. I thought we were going to get a real send-off for Deadpool, and instead it was just a blatant event plug, sort of.
Well, I think that's the joke. They were playing on the idea of all these gigantic character deaths
right.
by basically being like, eh, that just doesn't matter.
I just think that's a sort of a cheap joke when there's so much in Deadpool to make fun of. Like, I feel like he could have died from, I mean, I don't really read it as regularly as you, but died from tacos or something? Or pancakes? What's his thing? Like, there's something where he could have, it could have been a fun thing there, or he gets to heaven and it's all
chimichangas, dude.
It's all chimichangas, or he gets ground up into some sort of chimichanga. So I thought there was more opportunity here. I was surprised it was just a regular thing like that.
I like the rest of the book, though.
I did like Brian Posehn,
we've talked about this a bunch, but they do a great job of making it funny, but actually bringing a powerful amount of emotion to the book.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a fantastic book. That's why it sucks that it's over.
Well, there'll be time for all that. What'd you think, Jeff?
I thought it was pretty cool. I don't have the history with Deadpool, so I didn't really appreciate the context. But I also thought that the ending was a little cheap, and just that they acknowledge that it's cheap doesn't make it not cheap, the
yes,
joke. Like, I see that on TV sometimes where, like, they're like, we know we're making a lame joke. And it's like, yeah, but you're still making a lame joke,
Yeah.
And it doesn't totally forgive it.
Yeah, it makes it worse in a lot of cases.
Yeah.
It's like, why don't you try a little harder on
that? So I guess Deadpool is the character to do that with because of his, like, the meta layer of the Deadpool comics, right?
Right,
yeah.
All right.
Cool.
But then it should have been someone handing a $10 bill to their comic book dealer.
$10 for a comic is pretty crazy.
Yeah, right?
It is very thick. What
there's
do you guys think
of
like some of the shorter comedy stories from funny people in here?
It is, yeah. Jason Mantzoukas writes a story.
Yeah, there's some great stuff
Paul
in
Scheer
there.
And,
The roast is fun at the end, but it also makes fun of the fact that Wolverine is dead, which is fucking bullshit. But, like, it's, it's just hard to pay money, extra money, to watch something you love die.
To watch something you love die.
How much money would you pay to watch something you love die?
Yeah. I guess not $10.
So
less than $10.
Less, yeah. Like
so eight. Basically, life is cheap to
yeah,
you.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Right. Was it hard chasing all those kids off your lawn after you were reading this?
Yep.
Cool. Let's move on with your pick, Justin. Shield number 4, also
Shield
from
number
Marvel
four.
Comics.
Now, I know I was just talking about how I don't watch the television show S.H.I.E.L.D., and that's sort of where this comic comes from.
Right.
This is Agent Coulson and...
one of the greats.
Based on the sort of the premise of the TV show S.H.I.E.L.D., Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., is set in the Marvel Universe. So it's one-off stories by Mark Waid, featuring all sorts of characters led by Coulson.
Yeah, the thing that struck me finally with this issue, and it's taken 4 issues to realize this, and all of them really good... This is Marvel team-up.
Yeah.
That's basically what this is. They gave it a different name. They made Coulson the central character, but they realized that people probably wouldn't pick it up if it was an anthology or just called team-up or seemed like one-offs. Instead, they made it into a series. And that's great because it's good art. It's fun stories. Here, there's a really nice emotional beat with the Invisible Woman.
Yeah, it's awesome.
It's really fun. Did you get a chance to check this out?
I haven't, and I'm unfamiliar with it, but I'm interested that Coulson... made that leap from, like, the outside world into the prime continuity of the comics.
Oh, yeah.
He's like the Harley Quinn of Marvel now.
He
made that leap. Mm-hmm. But Harley Quinn is, like, a clown, and she's, like, sexy, and she's deadly, and, like, all that. He's just, like, a dude. Like, I still don't know how to describe Coulson. He's just, like, I guess he's capable.
He's an adult nerd with a job.
Yep.
Yeah.
Well, that's what...
Hard to imagine comic book readers would relate to him.
Mark Waid did a great job here actually making him make sense for the Marvel Universe. In this book, the idea is Coulson is the ultimate nerd, but he's managed to take all of his knowledge of superheroes, and it makes him the perfect person to figure out who is the right superhero for the job.
Gotcha. That is a little in the movies. In Avengers, he has the Captain America card
right.
or whatever.
Yeah.
So
but that's pretty much, it's like less than 25 seconds of the movies, I would say.
Right, but he works, Mark Waid, to his credit, works off of that, blows it out into a concept. It works really nicely for
cool, that's cool.
I got to say, this comic is, it's a Mark Waid, like, masterclass on just, like, writing great comics. Like, he establishes the story, he gets the characters all across. It's fun, it's funny. funny, but there's emotional beats, and then he closes it up but in 20 pages.
Awesome. I agree with you. I think this comic is great, but there is that thing of, like, why are we listening to Johnny Storm right now talk about the intricacies of putting a car together? Oh, because later when Sue Storm is doing a heart surgery, those two things relate.
Yeah, so that's, it's like, how that's called writing works.
Yeah, that's excellent.
Yeah, but no, it's like it's a thing that, why are we listening to this monologue right now? Oh, because later it pays off. I don't think that
that's
it's
how,
like,
writing, I'm sorry, how comedy works also.
I can't tell if your problem is that there was a monologue or that it pays off.
Well, no, I just pulls me out of it, like, oh, it just seemed obvious. Like, why am I listening to Johnny Storm right now? Oh, okay. And then when you see it coming a little bit, it's little...
I didn't read this, but I know what you mean, and I've seen that in movies where, like, someone's saying something, and you're just like, oh, this is important for later.
Yeah.
And, like, I think when it's done well, you don't notice it. And,
right.
Like, so you're right that it is, like, how jokes and how storytelling largely works. But I think when it's done well, it's, like, subtle, and it's like a magic trick. Like, you don't even know that it's being done to you.
Right.
And then,
exactly.
Yeah. That's it.
I agree with you.
That's it. Sorry, Alex is slowly dying.
All right.
Go on without me.
Take a sip of beer, dude. It'll help.
Okay, I'll take some beer.
That you prescribe that all the time.
I do.
Anyway, the writing is great in here.
I do. I think Mark Waid's an amazing...
Johnny Storm is very smart in this.
Yeah, I think Mark Waid's an amazing writer. I just, for this one, it just kind of stuck out a little bit. Mm. You know, so that's all.
Cool. Let's move on. This is my pick for the week. Convergence, the question, number one.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, well, so here's the thing. We spent the...
Don't die.
Are you being shifted to another multiversal...
Yeah.
You may be going to another to fight for your...
Yeah, people. I'm going to die for like a month.
Legacy virus, maybe.
Yes.
Yeah, he's got a bad case of legacy.
We spent... 2 weeks ago, we pretty much shat on Secret Wars, right? And then last week we shot out Convergence. They're both, if you haven't been keeping up, they're both the exact same event, one for Marvel, one for DC, mm-hmm. where all these worlds are being destroyed and then all these alternate universe stories are forced to fight each other. At least that's what we think about Secret Wars. We don't exactly know yet.
Yeah.
But it's all these alternate
definitely
universes.
Definitely implied by the title, though.
Secret Wars and the fact that it's called Battle World.
Yeah, exactly. They're all going to be in the same place.
Right.
And it's weird because you would expect DC to make this move. So that means it's like, oh, sort of predictable. And you would expect Marvel to be better than making this
Move. The other thing that's crazy about it, for those of you who are listening at home, I'll just have to describe this, but Convergence, all the covers have the main characters fading out, starting from the left to the right, and then Secret Wars have all the covers fading out from the right
that
to the left.
That is crazy. How do they not? Talk that much that they didn't know all the
it's
covers
insane.
Look like that?
Yeah,
yes.
I mean, honestly, that is crazy.
This is proof. This is like some 1984 shit.
Yeah, right.
Like, we're holding up in case you're listening at home. Check out Miles Morales, The Ultimate Spider-Man, number 12, and then literally any convergence.
Yeah. It always makes me think of pro wrestling because, like, we follow the plots and we, like, know and we're, like, into the story and the characters, but, like, we know as intelligent fans, like, what's going on and why, and, like, have to discuss the layer of, like, well, you know, they're trying to push that or this is going on. And I feel like that's what's going on here. Like, obviously, we're interested in Secret Wars and who's going to win all the fights. We all know, like, why the Secret Wars are happening, like, the behind-the-scenes reasons why they're doing these things.
Right.
Here's the thing, though. Here's the thing that was super surprising to me, because I picked up Convergence number one, which we have here, and a bunch of the Convergence books as well. Convergence number one, I felt pretty much similarly to number zero, where it was just like, this is a mess of story that I don't really care about with a lot of characters that I don't care about and a
it
lot of
this is supposed to explain what's happening. It doesn't make any sense. It's they're all in these domes and a one hero from each multiversal city that's been transported.
Every
to
hero gets a dome.
Yeah.
fight, but there's like regular people there and they're like in the Batgirl issue that I read this week because I liked the Stephanie Brown Batgirl. They're like, they talk about how they're eating hamsters in the Gotham because there's no food because they've been covered in this
but
dome.
But here's the thing. I liked a lot of the one-offs. That's the thing. Like, that's why I picked the question. I was really surprised about it because the main issue doesn't really explain what's going on or how it affects anybody. But there was also Nightwing and Batgirl. I think that's what Nightwing and Oracle. by Gail Simone. Also really good. Showed the stakes. Explain why they're important. Explain what's happening to the people in all these cities who are fighting. And are great. The question issue in particular is awesome because it's Greg Rucka writing the question. Yeah, and
that sounds awesome.
Spoiler, Batwoman. Cully Hammer is drawing it.
It is great.
And it's awesome. Great. Like, there's little touches. It's definitely an alternate universe. It's not the same thing as it was before, but it's awesome.
Also, Two-Face is in that.
Yeah, Two-Face is in it. It's a different Two-Face, and it's just super cool.
Well, and it's great because this is like from the like mid-2000s run where Renee Montoya is the question, and they had a her and Two-Face had a huge like great relationship where like he was attracted to her, but she has a girlfriend, and it's like. It's a crazy story and really interesting and really well played and very nuanced, and we get to see that again here, which is great. It's just there's so much nonsense around it that I just wish I could see a limited series or an ongoing featuring these characters.
I am relieved to hear that you guys have difficulty following these like company-wide events because they're insane. It's extraordinarily difficult to follow these things, and not only just because it requires reading such a wide set of books. And because it involves having such a deep knowledge of the history, but also it gets into, like, multiverses and, like, time travel and all this, like, you know, like you said, nonsense. They're insanely difficult to follow these things.
Yeah. The problem is, and we've all interviewed a fair amount of comic book writers, but one of the things that I had when I first got my job at MTV was trying to do these documentaries where we were explaining comic books to an MTV audience.
Wow.
And it was the most difficult thing to do in the world. It's really hard for comic book people to understand that general audiences don't automatically get this stuff.
Well, that's why we have the Ultimate Universe, which, as you can see here, looks very strong, not fading into oblivion at all.
Just being burned away into
Oh, my God. It's hard to explain to people.
And I like comic books. I know more about comic books than most people. And like, they're really difficult to read.
Yeah, there was a thing, I don't remember whether I talked about this on the show already, but they had that promo for The Flash back before it went on break where they're like, here's what's coming up on The Flash. And Arrow showed up in the promo in his Ra's al Ghul kind of inspired costume. He sort of looked a little bit like Malcolm Merlin. And it was like 1 second, but I was like, oh, shit, that's a huge spoiler. It turns out that maybe he's going to take the mantle off of Ra's al Ghul. Anyway, that's crazy. Yeah. And I saw that, and I talked to my wife about it. And I was like, man, isn't that nuts? And she's like, what are you talking about? I literally did not even see that or notice that he was in the promo or that there was any costume or anything. And I talked to a bunch of other people who regularly watch the show. They're like, no, I didn't notice that.
Well, we noticed that whatever a character's wearing is hugely important to what mantles they're
I am very well aware of what a wall there is between nerd stuff and regular stuff, and even I fall into that trap all the time.
That's what makes it so these movies and these TV shows so great, beyond the fact that they're, like, inherently good, is that they've, like, managed to sand down, like, the Daredevil, like, evil ninja mythos into, like, something that is, like, digestible for a general audience.
Yeah. That's true. I mean, honestly, what if, like, you, Alex, you showed up and your normal plaid shirt was, like, had, like, blue shoulders? You were like, fuck.
Yeah, exactly.
Alex is assumed the mantle. We gotta watch out.
Yeah. But his one girlfriend of us died.
Yeah, right.
Oh, no.
Also, it's worth noting, I think, that they, like, in the sanding down, it's also, they lose very little, if any, of the flavor. Like, watching that show, you get why Daredevil's been such a great character for so long, even though you're not getting, like, every specific nuance of the lore, like the important pieces are there to like give you a sense of who that character is, and with all the Marvel movies and the good DC stuff too.
Yeah, the good DC stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I would like to quickly say that these covers are really upsetting because it's a waste of a cover.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, they're just terrible.
Yeah, it's I can't believe awful looking.
And the really incredible thing is both companies made the decision to do it. Like, it wasn't just one company making it.
It's like,
let's take away covers.
In partial defense, these are the Convergence variant covers.
Yeah, there are other covers. I actually like these covers.
I would say them.
You like half of a cover? You don't want to see
I like them fading
full
out.
Amount
it
of
looks,
art?
It
you
looks
want
cool
to see
on the shelf. It looks cool.
I would say that the Marvel one's doing a little better than DC because the Marvel one is about 50-50. The DC one is 75% solid.
The DC one is they put on a Photoshop filter. That's pretty much it.
Yeah, yeah.
Right. I could do that in Photoshop.
Yeah, this is like an old piece of art. They were just like, done. 52 covers.
Okay, just we're 1 week into Convergence out of 8 weeks or whatever, something like that. What do you think? What alternate universe is coming back to the DC universe, or do you care?
What characters will they sort of elevate out of this?
Yeah, because the whole idea is all of these universes fight, and one of them gets to come back.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Flash is a prime ground to maybe do some
Flashpoint?
Changes. Yeah, bringing some older Flashes back, I feel like, given the popularity of Flash.
If they can get Batman Beyond into the main continuity, all sins are forgiven.
They did.
Excellent. I'm on board.
Yeah.
All right, great.
Yeah, he's actually a sort of a major character in their
weekly
titles.
Yeah, I've seen him popping around there, which I think. Yeah. I love Batman. You know, I've already expressed my love for Bruce Timmiverse, so I love
Batman
Beyond. Batman
Beyond's one
Beyond.
Of my faves as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't worry. They ruined it. All right, and that's it for the stat. Yeah. All right, guys. I think because there's a lot of stuff to talk about, we can move on to our next section, Week in Geek. Let's move right on to the Week in Geek. In the
there's
Week in
so
Geek, we're talking
talk about
some geek culture topics, things that we want to talk about.
Yep.
TV, movies.
Yep.
Like we said, we have a great working knowledge of both of those things.
Well, first thing to talk about, you guys wanted to talk about Daredevil. As I said, don't spoil it or I might do something bad.
Yeah, great. Nice. So Daredevil was amazing. I binged watched all the episodes.
How long did it take you to binge watch them?
I have no idea. I lost
13
days.
About 13 hours.
Yeah, well, I had to take breaks to eat and use my legs.
But, like, it came out on that Thursday night, basically.
Yeah, Thursday night. Sure.
Were you done by Sunday night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Perfect. Wow. All right, that's what I'm looking for.
What about you?
I'm 6 in, maybe 7, something like that.
I'm 6 in.
I'm moving at a steady clip, though. Yeah. Like I said, it's going to be done by the week.
It gets really good at episode 7.
What?
Really?
It's amazing.
It's been great. All the way through.
I think phenomenal. It keeps getting better. So let's break it down. We've got, you want to talk about character?
Wait. First, before you guys actually break it down, let me do my stupid stuff and you can make fun of me for it. And then
no
you
problem.
Can go back to really talking about it.
Great.
Wow, that's a great encapsulation of our
show.
Yeah.
And so I just really loved how violent it was.
Yeah.
Just really beautifully violent. I really liked how they got into it. I was really surprised by also how religious it was. Just really staying true to the character, I felt like.
Just real quick, do you think, I don't regularly read the Bible. Will I be okay watching Daredevil?
No, you're going to want to finish that first.
Yeah. Alex reads the Bible, just not regularly. It's like,
I have a hard time keeping up with all the crossover events and everything.
Yeah, I've been binge reading the Bible, and man, it's a super blast. It's been great. I mean, once it came out, I was like, I got to get through this.
Yeah. So anyways, super violent, amazingly shot. I was really nervous about Kingpin's fight sequences. Just because I didn't know.
Spoiler.
I didn't know.
I haven't even seen Kingpin yet.
He takes a while.
You know who Kingpin is, so I'm not spoiling anything. All right. Well, anyways, there's an amazing actor.
It's Michael Clark Duncan.
This is the problem with Netflix shows, though, that we're all really into it, and we can't really have a conversation at it because we're at four different places in the series.
Well, I mean, we were talking about earlier, like, there's a stress implied with Netflix shows because they all come at once. It's like, fuck, I gotta watch this.
Totally.
It's sort of, you're bearing down on it when, like, other shows, you're like, oh, I just gotta watch it.
Because if you're somewhere else and people are talking about it, you can't be like, shut up.
Like, literally right here, right now.
Yeah.
I agree with you, though, about the violence is like brutal and intense. The fights, I love. You get to see a lot of the characters getting hurt, and then like there's this great fight sequence at the end of episode 2, which everyone's been talking about.
Yeah.
That is the best part of the first 2 episodes for sure. I think.
Yeah.
Where they really find their ground, and you see Daredevil's like beating up all these Russian dudes, and he punches like 4 of them, and then they all fall down, including Daredevil, and then they all like slowly get up. You can tell they're in pain, it's so cool. And even down to like the sound effects when Daredevil punches someone, it's like a meets. It's not like a pow. It's more like a. It's legit.
Oh, is everybody very sticky?
I'm not
up to that yet.
Well, everyone's covered in like an oil.
Oh, okay.
Like a loose oil.
Gotcha.
No, it sounds like a real, it just feels more real. And I think it's, you know, he seems like the son of a boxer, a guy that boxes.
Yeah, it's great because, they talk about how his, Dak could take a beating and you really get to see he takes
Let's talk about, I am curious, just without getting too much into spoilers, how do you feel it wrapped up at the end of the season? Are you
It was unbelievable.
I mean, are you happy with
it?
Do
you feel get through that?
Do you feel satisfied at the end of the season? Do you feel is there a lot of burning questions for the second season? Or
there's stuff that needs to be addressed, but like I'm very happy. Also, like that was so like great and rich. Like you got a they showed an article that was published in a paper, and they used like the art from the old comic books. And, like, actually call him Daredevil in the paper. And it's like, oh, it's so great.
Cool. I got to be honest, though. I prefer his, like, costume from the beginning.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I'm not excited for him to wear the...
But it was earned. Like, he talks about it. And then you finally get there and you get to see it. And it's
I don't know. Moment. I've seen that costume. I prefer the Ben Affleck version.
Oh, my God.
I actually don't hate the Ben Affleck Daredevil as much as other people. You know, the violence thing is really interesting because they never would make a comic book movie that is that violent. Because you wouldn't make an R-rated comic book movie because, like, you need, like, teenagers to go see it.
Yeah.
So, like, TV is kind of, you know, besides comic books themselves, obviously, TV is kind of the outlet for that. I remember being struck by that when I played the Wolverine Origins video game, which is actually a pretty good video game. It's totally decent video game. And it's really violent. Like, you see Wolverine, like, you know, popping skulls and stuff, and you're like, oh, right, he has claws for hands. Like, Wolverine's a... Because the Wolverine Origins movie, like, one of many real problems with that movie is, like, whenever he stabs someone in the face, the camera, like, goes away from it because you can't show it.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see, like, in TV and video games that they're, like, honoring... Especially with these characters where it's appropriate to do it, where violence is a piece of the character, like Daredevil and Wolverine.
There's a death at the end of episode 4 in this series that is just so... With the Kingpin.
Yeah.
I was just like, brutal.
God. Well, okay, all right, let me ask you about this, because this is, granted, again, I'm only an episode and a half in, so I'm way behind you guys. I've heard it gets really good. I felt like a lot of the violence...
Amazing.
Hold on. I felt like a lot of the violence in the first episode to me felt like a kid swearing for the first time, where it was like, ooh, now we can do some violence.
You can't judge something that you've seen 15 minutes of, though.
That's why I'm asking a question.
I get that, because I thought the first episode was a bit tough, because we have the guy that plays Foggy, one of the Bash brothers from Mighty Ducks.
Right. I'm so glad you brought that up. I was going to mention that, too.
We should also, for the sake of... journalistic integrity.
We should mention that
Justin tried out for the part of Foggy Nelson.
I auditioned for Foggy.
He auditioned for Foggy. So,
but you're not right for Foggy.
I'm just saying that whatever Justin is about to say about the actor who actually got the part of Foggy, just couch his comments in that.
Right. Yeah.
Now go ahead. What were you going to say?
I'm just saying I just feel like his hair should be shorter and a darker brown, and he should be like more of a New York guy, LA child actor who's having a second shot. All right?
I thought he did a great job.
No.
Wait, did you come in with like, hey, I'm a Foggy Nelson.
Hey, Foggy Nelson.
I hold my pizza like this.
And how great is it that like...
I'm from Hell's Kitchen. Oh!
It's not really over. Fun. Like, now I'm even more excited about the Jessica Jones show. And Iron Fist, can you think about how good that Iron Fist...
Oh, man.
I haven't seen the fight scenes on this show and how well they're doing Kung
Luke
Fu.
Luke Cage. Yeah. I can't wait.
Iron Fist.
And then there's the Defenders, the thing like the mini Avengers where they put them all together. I honestly can't decide. This is what I want to ask you guys. Which of those next three series, Luke Cage, Jessica Jones, Iron Fist, are you most excited about?
Iron Fist.
Oh, really?
Awesome.
Okay. I'll tell you, there was a bunch of set photos that hit today from Jessica Jones. Mm-hmm. I was not totally sold on Kristen Ritter.
Yeah.
In the casting, I like her. I thought she was maybe a weird choice for Jessica Jones. I don't know what it was about the set photos, but it was just her on a motorcycle with Mike Coulter, who's playing Luke Cage. And I was like, yep. There you go.
I can't believe that's
them.
How incredible is it? You guys just gave three different answers. You gave three. That's how exciting this endeavor
it is
you
cool.
know?
It is. I've just been so into the Iron Fist comic that's currently on the stands. And to see it, to imagine a fight like the fights in Daredevil with glowing fists. He's going to wreck people.
I just hope I could finish the second episode of Daredevil by the time the next series comes out.
We're really hoping.
Yeah, stop going outside.
There's so much to Stay inside. I gotta watch iZombie first. And this trailer.
Has there been any indication of if there will be, because now they're following it up with three other series and then Defenders, is Daredevil season 2 at all on the table?
That's a really good question. I have to imagine it is.
I'm sure it's on the table because I think it is. I mean, it's only been a few days, but I feel like it's gotten enough buzz that yeah. they must be happy with it.
Seems like. I mean,
but I was surprised at how much they tackled in the first season. Like, they did a lot in that first season.
Well, let's talk about it. I mean, this is being total armchair Hollywood and whatever else, right? Uh-huh. So they're filming AKA Jessica Jones right now. Luke Cage is in that. They potentially could release that by late summer, early fall.
I believe it
like
is
that.
Before the end of the year. Yeah.
Yeah. And then they could film Luke Cage right after that, release that in the first part of 2016, potentially at the same time or right after, be filming Iron Fist, also release that in 2016.
Oh, man.
So potentially you get Defenders and then Daredevil Season 2 in 2017. Oh. Just like roughly speaking, you could probably do that, right?
I guess, yes. But it's interesting to imagine. I don't know. It seems somewhat unprecedented to have a show where like the seasons are years
That's
apart
true,
like
yeah.
that, you know? I mean, it's interesting. And like whatever they're doing, just keep it coming. I don't
yeah,
want
to know that's a really good question.
I do think that makes sense, though, because of the fact that you have like the night nurse, Rosario Dawson, who is great in the show.
Unbelievable. Yep.
Especially in a show where some of the acting is a little wonky. To
nope.
see someone who,
nope.
Like,
who?
Like,
are you talking
it.
About Foggy?
I mean, honestly, Karen Page is a little rough. Those scenes,
what?
Those scenes,
dude,
those
Karen
scenes,
Page?
The scenes between Karen Page and Foggy, it's just like, yo. Cool it. When they go out drinking with the eel
Dude,
whiskey or whatever, I was just like, yo.
What stop. Are you talking about? That was great.
Yeah, I thought they weren't bad. I think it's to the show's credit that it is pretty watchable, even when, like, when Daredevil's not on, you're not like, where's Daredevil?
Yeah,
like, the other characters are generally pretty compelling.
Now, do they, again, this is only having watched the first episode and a half, do they keep shooting her for maximum paleness and freckles?
I mean, as far as I've seen, yes.
All right, good
and
to
they
know.
Keep her hair real strainy and loose.
Great.
As much as possible. Yeah.
Great. Hey, for this shot, we want Foggy and Karen to be pasty as humanly possible.
Yeah, exactly.
Jesus.
All right. Enough out of you with the 15 minutes and I feel like I can put in 2 cents. I think that the characters grow and they start off one way and by the end of
I'm
it...
I'm sorry, you're saying the characters develop over the course of the show?
Right, but...
That's crazy.
Yeah, I know. But it's also like, it's hard for me to sit here and let you give them shit when you haven't seen anything yet, you know? Like, you've seen...
Welcome to our show.
Yeah, all right. But, yeah, I just think that the stuff that they go through, it's an unbelievable journey and like... By the end of it, you don't care about the stupid freckle shot. Or
no,
whatever.
No, I know.
But
you know, the freckle shot is.
I mean, what's great about this whole season is you get so much. You think to yourself, oh, they're not going to have an episode when we have a showdown, like a boss fight. You fucking get it. You know what I mean? Like, they're like, people die, things happen, it is real.
The episodes also have a pretty healthy variety, where, like, one is a hostage episode, and one is a break-in episode, and one's, like one's the lawyer case episode. And, like, the episodes all have... It makes it easy to binge them because there's a pretty healthy variety in just the formats of the episodes.
Cool.
And what do we think? I mean, I was talking about this earlier today about with the upcoming movies. You've got like Infinity Gauntlet. We need as many heroes as possible.
Obviously, yeah. All hands on deck.
Civil War. We got to have some people to be registered and unregistered, right? We need as many possible heroes going.
I don't think they'll show up in Civil War, but I do think they'll show up in sub capacity in Infinity Gauntlet.
Infinity War, yeah. You don't think any of them in Civil War? I feel like
who's going to be the Punisher in Civil War? That's
they already got enough.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, based on the Avengers?
Yeah.
I don't think so. We need like six on a side.
Well, think about what happens at the end of Avengers Age of Ultron, right?
Right.
Like, think about that. Leading directly into Civil War, we all know what happened because we've all seen Avengers Age of Ultron.
Can you imagine the end of Avengers 3? Like, I can't even, like, in 2019, like, the big climactic shot of that movie, just like, it's going to look like one of the variant covers with, like, all the characters running at the screen, you know?
It's going to be very exciting.
I hope I don't die.
Wait, did you say you've already seen
the movie? That's basically what I'm staying
alive for. No, no.
Yeah, we've all seen Avengers Age of Ultron, right?
You've seen it?
Yeah. I thought we all saw it.
Are you serious?
I told you I was going to fucking wreak vengeance on you, Pete.
I didn't spoil anything. I didn't spoil anything.
You spoiled the things happening
in the show. Did you really see Avengers?
Yes, I have seen it.
What?
Oh, my God!
What did you think?
It's good.
Yes!
It's just good?
Yeah, it's really good.
Is it better, as good as the first one?
It's Do you want, honestly?
Yes.
Okay.
How is this only, like, just coming up now?
Because I knew you did. I knew exactly. Because he was like, if you spoil Daredevil, I've got something to tell you. I was like, he saw fucking Avengers. Of course.
Yeah.
I saw some people on Facebook talking about how they had seen it, and I was like, I bet you Alex saw it.
Yeah. I saw like,
wait, is it good? It's good?
Yeah, it's good. So it's... I think I got to watch it again with an audience of real human beings rather than like 10 film critics, which is the worst way of seeing a movie.
I don't know if you've seen a movie with the human beings of New York, but I can't imagine.
I'll tell you. Okay,
no,
so
it,
I saw
it is worse.
The first time I saw Avengers, I saw it with somehow I ended up at a screening for whatever car was sponsoring the movie, where everybody responded to literally nothing except when their cars were on screen, and then they erupted into applause, which was crazy. And then I saw it with a real audience. Some people who responded the right way, and it was awesome.
Mm-hmm.
This was the same thing. Like, people did actually respond, but there wasn't a ton of response. This is an audience movie. It's hilarious. There's some awesome moments. There's some shots that, even with this audience, actually made people gasp out loud when they happened, which is awesome. I think as a movie, it doesn't quite reach the heights of that last hour of Avengers because you've already gotten there. Like, that was the first time you see everybody fighting together.
Yeah.
I will tell you, this is not a spoiler, but you know how it ends with that shot of zooming through and everybody fighting, and you're like, oh,
the
shit,
battle,
it's the whole Avengers in the Battle of New York? It basically starts with that.
That's
so thinking about, like, you start with where the last movie ended.
Not, that's cool.
Not actually starts with that shot.
Yeah.
But with that sort of shot,
right.
And then it has to build from there.
Tough.
It's tough.
Yeah.
It does it. It builds. There's some crazy stuff that happens in the movie and some great stuff. But Cap 2, in terms of story for me, really raised the bar.
Yeah, I think that's true for me,
too. And in terms of texture of the characters. And this meal more feels like, it feels like a middle part.
Yeah.
Where Avengers 1 was the third act. It was all climax. This is the second part. This is probably the most set-up movie since Iron Man 2, but they figured out how to do
it. Really?
Yeah. Well, you know how Iron Man 2 was like, we're setting up all this Avengers stuff.
I don't remember a single thing about Iron Man 2.
I remember suitcase
armor and Monaco.
Okay. Iron Man 2 is better than you remember it.
Yes.
Okay.
Right?
Yeah. I don't know.
Yeah, it is.
I agree with you, and I think Iron Man 3 is overrated.
Yeah. I don't like Iron Man 3 that much.
Yeah.
I like him.
There's a lot of setup in here, but it's cool setup, and it works in the movie.
Into it.
It's great.
All right.
I cannot wait.
So since you did your Vengeance, the fight sequence between Kingpin and Daredevil is unbelievable. And the Kingpin origin story is so violent and amazing, and Kingpin's dad is such a fucking douche. It's unbelievable. It's
cool.
Great.
Iron Man dies.
Guys, this arms race is getting out of control.
Before we run out of time, let's move on to our next section, which is trivia. And for that, we're going to turn over to Pete LePage.
All right. This part, we give back to you, the lovely audience, an opportunity to win $25 free. Which one of you two would like $25 free? Simply raise your hand. Yes, you, sir. Come on up. Here's $25 free. Here's how this is going to work.
Here you go. Here's the microphone.
Here's the microphone. What is your name, sir?
I'm Guy.
Guy, audience, Guy. Hey. All right. So how this is going to work is I'm going to read you a question, listen to all three possible answers, get all three questions right, and you get to keep that $25. All right. Here we go. So as long as you've read every comic, you'll be fine. All right, in saga number 27, Marco swears off blank, but also thinks it's the key to understanding his wife. Is it A, drugs, B, booze, or C, binge watching Daredevil over and over again? So it's either A, which is the correct answer, or it's B. Don't pick B.
I'll go with A.
A is correct. That's right.
Yeah.
He ODs and then was like, oh, man, now I've seen some things.
All mind games.
Okay, in Jupiter's Circle number 1, what is the name of the federal agent trying to blackmail Blue Bolt? Is it A, Agent Molson, B, Agent Clyde Tolson, or is it C, a gent named Coulson? So it's either A, which isn't true, or it's B, Agent Clyde Tolson. Do you see what they're trying to do there? Yes.
Nice.
All right.
Well done, sir. Well done.
Last one. Here we go. In Big Man Plans number 2, which continues to be amazing, our hero has what on his t-shirt? Is it A, a clown hanging himself, B, a cat shooting himself, or is it C, Deadpool rebooting himself? So it's either A, a clown shooting himself, which is correct, and kind of messed up in a fun way.
It's A.
A is correct, yes, sir. Nice. $25 free for you.
Congratulations,
guys.
Take your mic back.
I got it.
All right.
Nice job.
All right, guys. As we all know, tomorrow is New Comic Book Day. We recommend you go to Midtown Comics because they've been nice enough to sponsor the show. Pete, what are you looking forward to?
A lot of stuff coming up. I would say my favorite that I've been loving is Shudder, but also I'm looking forward to Ms. Marvel.
Oh, a couple of picks
cool.
there. Just a light on the old explanation.
Yep.
From classic Pete LePage.
Classic Pete LePage move.
Great. I'm looking forward to 8, number 3, from Image Comics. It's a time travel story told with a great color palette. You get to see a team of time travelers is split between different ages in a disaster situation, and you get to see them in different time periods fighting, and one is blue, one is green, and the other one is, I think, red or orange. I don't remember, but it's an interesting series, just sort of getting going.
Cool. I thought this came out already, but I guess not. I'm really looking forward to Archie versus Predator number 1 is coming out.
Oh, yeah?
I read it, and I'll tell you, it is one of the most fucked up comics you will ever read in your entire life.
Wait, you love fucked up comics.
Afterlife with Archie is it's pretty disturbing, but right, it also it. Like it has this
comic called Afterlife with Archie.
There is it's a zombie
this is
comic.
A great That's great.
It's That's awesome.
Great. I did interview an Archie writer on my podcast. That was a really fun one. Yeah,
Dan Parent.
Yeah, it was Dan Parent. Yeah, he's right. great.
And he's you awesome. Know what else he did that was very comic booky is he did a superhero psychologist.
Oh, yeah, she's been on twice. She was great. Yeah. Really fun.
Yeah,
Dr. Robin Rosenberg. Episodes. Anyway, sorry, I interrupted.
No, it's fine. I was going to say Afterlife with Archie, which is also a really great series, makes sense as a dark comic because you have Francesco Francavilla's art, which tends towards darkness. Mm-hmm. This is a straight-up Archie comic with all the jokes of the Archie comic, except the Predator is in it, and things get real gross and real disturbing very quickly.
What do you mean by real gross?
He ends up with Midge?
Yeah, he ends up eating a lot of hamburgers and pops soda shop.
Awkward.
It's crazy. Jeff, what are you looking forward to?
You know, I actually want to highlight a vintage release, the Top 10 trade paperback that's coming out. I love nice. Top 10 by Alan Moore. It's one of the, you know, obviously Alan Moore is great, but it's one of the really fun things that Alan Moore wrote with no weird sexuality or thinking about life. Like, he's just applying his, not to judge anyone's sexuality, whatever Alan Moore wants to do in his privacy is fine, but you know, it's he takes that like deep, insane like knowledge of comic books and stories that he put into League of Extraordinary Gentlemen and of course Watchmen, and like makes it really funny. It's really funny. It makes me wish he did stuff that was like a little light and funnier more often. The Top 10's a really great comic. If you've never read it, check it out.
Cool. Nice. And plug your stuff. What should people check out?
Jeff Rubin, Jeff Rubin Show at JeffRubinJeffRubinShow.com. Yep.
All right. Very cool. Before we go, a couple of things to plug. Pete.
I just wanted to say real quickly, Herb Trimby died today. Rest in peace. When we were first starting out, I got to interview him at a con. He was the nicest, coolest guy ever, and he helped create Wolverine, so I was totally geeking out, and he was
hilarious. Yeah, in case you don't know, I mean, he's drawn hundreds of comic books.
G.I. Joe, Hulk.
But he's probably best known the classic cover that introduced, or the classic comic that introduced Wolverine.
Yeah.
He created the look for Wolverine. So if you love Wolverine, say goodbye to her.
I saw some people posting, there's a great Rolling Stone cover that he did of the Hulk, which was very cool. Like, he was drawing the cover Rolling Stone when it was, like, the coolest thing in the world to be on the cover of.
Yeah. Awesome. Now it's super lame.
Yeah, now who wants to be on that shit?
Yeah. Not true. It's still cool, though.
Always, Rolling Stone, always going at it.
I'll tell you
Rolling
what.
Stone.
If they asked me to be on the cover of Rolling Stone, I'd be like, no thanks.
Wow.
Rolling Stone's stock has dropped in coolness a little bit in recent weeks.
Oh, yeah. I
guess there's some news.
Yeah.
Follow us on Twitter at Comic Book Live.
Check us out at comicbookclublive.com, Nerdist.com for the podcast and more. A couple of people we want to thank before we go. We want to thank our fabulous interns, Iman Bell, Tomer Dar, Craig Fletcher, David McKay, Adam Riley Trahan. We want to thank Jeff for being on the show.
Jeff!
We want to thank everybody here at Fontana's, but most of all, we want to thank you guys. We are every Tuesday?
Every Tuesday.
Tuesday, just want to check. 7 p.m., yeah. Totally free. Please tell your friends. Good night!
Good night, everybody. Thanks for coming. Hi, Scott in L.A.